into the ideas, the concerns, the policies of Christian political parties in Australia, standing candidates for this coming federal election. In just a few moments, we'll catch up with Pastor Danny Nalia. He's the founder of the Rise Up Australia Party, and they're standing candidates for Senate seats around Australia. We'll find out about the Rise Up Australia Party in just a few moments. Coming up after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to also then connect with Family First. Senator Bob Day joining us, talking through his impressions on the federal election campaign, his perspectives on the policies of the major parties, concerns over the big issues that the nation is facing, both economically and morally, as Australia faces huge ethical issues that are at play at the moment. Hope you can stick around. Some good things ahead of us today here on 2020. You might recall a news item last month that suggested that there were some Sharia courts operating within Australia. And of course, one of the big issues when it comes to our legal system is that there are those who don't want our legal system compromised by having any other parallel legal system endeavouring to operate within our borders. Well, it's been a concern for some, and our guest joining us now to talk through some issues when it comes to multiculturalism and a whole lot of election issues that face the Australian electorate. Danny Nalia is the chief at Rise Up Australia Party, the founder of that party, and also is a Senate candidate for the state of Victoria, the Senate candidate for the Rise Up Australia Party. Daniel Nalia joining us now. Hello, Danny. Welcome along to 2020.
Thanks, Neil. It's good to be back on your program.
Danny, let me ask you, first of all, when we hear reports that there are Sharia courts operating within Australia, and there's a couple that were referred to in a news item last month, how concerning is that for someone like yourself?
Before I answer that question, Neil, I just want to say the chief of Rise Up Australia Party is Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. I've chosen to do what he's asked me to do and take a stand for our nation to protect Australia's way of life, Judeo-Christian heritage, and keep Australia great for generations to come. Now, the Sharia court issue is a very concerning issue. I have lived under Sharia law in Saudi Arabia. For 2 years, I was forced to watch three people getting beheaded under Sharia conditions. And I've been warning Australia from 1997, since I called Australia home for the past 19 years, about the possibility of Islam taking a stronghold, a grip within the country. When I first came and spoke about these things in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000, people laughed. People said that I was going off my head, sort of, you know. They said, if it's happening out there, it'll never happen on our soil. And I kept telling people, I said, if you don't stop it when it's outside there, it'll come into our backyard, it'll be too late. Well, what they discovered was there were two Sharia courts functioning in New South Wales, in Lakemba namely. And when a marriage, when a family court made a decision regarding a marriage situation, and took the wife's side in that decision and told the husband to stay away or something of that sort, the husband forcefully took the wife to the Sharia court in Lakemba at the mosque, which is actually illegally operating, and it was on news. The Sharia court ruled saying that the family court was not legal because it was a Sharia issue. Muslim disputes need to be sorted out by Muslim judges and not by non-Muslim infidels. And so the Sharia court nullified the family court's decision and told the woman that she can't divorce, that she needs to stay in the marriage. Fortunately, the woman basically leaked this information out, and now there is an inquiry into it.
Well, Danny, that is certainly concerning for every Australian, and people who remember your story having been taken before tribunals because you were outspoken on these sorts of issues has been a real motivator for you too with the Rise Up Australia Party. This has become part of your solid platform, hasn't it, for election coming, this coming federal election. When it comes to these issues of multiculturalism, are you cutting through? Are people hearing the message that you're bringing?
Well, what's interesting, Neil, is people are absolutely sick and tired of our politically correct politicians and even politically correct church leaders, unfortunately, who are not willing to come up and stand up for the nation and stand up and call it for what it is. I've been saying this, and I went to court. As you know, I was taken to court by the Islamic Council of Victoria. We had a five-year court case over a period of 5 years, 40 days of full court hearings, a cost of $600,000. We ultimately won the right to free speech in 2007, 22nd June, when they tried to, Islamic Council of Victoria, using a piece of legislation in Victoria, tried to stifle free speech and tried to shut me up from saying anything about Islam. Had I lost that court case, I would have gone in for 6 months in jail. But beyond that, the bigger disaster would have been, we would have lost the right completely as Christians to talk about Jesus as the only way to heaven. The politics aside, our very heartbeat of telling people about Jesus would have been stifled completely, because that particular legislation is a subjective legislation, not objective, and you are guilty until you are proven innocent, whereas you are normally innocent until you are proven guilty under the Westminster's Code. But thank God we won that case and set a precedence. Today there are 83 verification cases across the world where they're using my court case to defend their rights of those who have been accused of verification. So we are in a time where we're beginning to see, again, I need to qualify something by saying this, there are thousands of good Muslim people. They are fellow citizens of our country. We need to love them, embrace them, protect them. But at the same time, we also need to understand that the Quran that they all read or learn from is a book of not peace, but violence. And this is the challenge we are faced with, multiculturalism.
Danny, whenever you have a multiculturalism platform and you stand, in a sense, as an anti-Islamic party, then people will assume that you have something against Muslims. But you go to great lengths to describe the need for the Christian church to embrace people who are Muslims and to welcome them and yet draw a line at having Sharia law implemented in Australia.
Definitely. I think we as Christians understand what I'm saying, and that is, you love the sinner, but not the sin. Yesterday, I was interviewed by Ray Martin, and I'm not supposed to talk about what was spoken, which will be coming out sometime later on. But one of the things I had to tell him is this, we know how to love people and separate the person from the action. For example, we all oppose Nazi ideology, but that does not make us hate all German people. We love the German people, but we don't approve of their ideology. So Islam is an ideology which is far worse than Hitler's Nazi Germany, because it's a God-given mandate for them to carry out jihad in order to establish the Islamic caliphate around the world. And people, how much you wanted to tell them, still they are in denial. Because of political correctness and fear of repercussions or repressals which will happen if they talk out and speak their heart. So Rights of Australia Party has decided that we will not back off. We will stand our ground. We will stand and fight for the rights of all people. And we will not step down. We will not back off. But we will keep fighting for the rights of Australia, to keep Australia Australian.
Danny, some people will say it's inflammatory to suggest that Islam is much more dangerous than Adolf Hitler and Nazis. There is something in that that could cause some people some concern, but how confident are you in actually making that assertion that Islam is more dangerous than Nazism?
Well, when Hitler's Nazi Germany started off, he wrote a book called Mein Kampf. And had people read what he was planning to do, they would have detected this problem, and had the church leaders spoken up at the very beginning, they could have possibly stopped the disaster. Even people say that death should have been in the tens of thousands, not in the millions. Islam is a very dangerous ideology. There is so many verses in the Quran which says to kill the Jew, the Christian, and the politicians and the atheists. Those who don't accept Islam are completely at the hands of the Muslim masters to do what they want to do. You either pay charity or tax, or I'll take your daughters, your wife, or I'll kill you. Now, in Australia, we have a very small percentage of Muslims, less than 2%. I think in numbers it's about 500,000. So we do not see the horrors of Islam and Sharia implemented here, fortunately, at least for season, if you're successful in stopping it. But all through the Middle East, a country such as Lebanon, today is in great strife. Once it was a Christian or a Catholic nation, today it's 70% Muslim. Egypt used to be a Christian nation. Today it's 90% Muslim. And so it slowly starts creeping in because people don't believe what's going to happen. They keep saying, oh, they're lovely people, nothing will happen, everything will be fine. But I think we've got to be wise, we've got to be proactive, not reactive, and tighten the screws up and be much more alert to protect Australia and keep Australia Australian for generations to come.
It's part of your election platform to protect Australians, and particularly when it comes to this issue of the rise of Islam. I'm talking with Daniel Nalia, who is the first Senate candidate for Victoria for the Rise Up Australia Party. He's also founder of the Rise Up Australia Party. There are candidates standing in many seats around the nation for the Senate. We'll continue our conversation in just a short while.
Vision National News, your trusted source for news.
Labor MPs say the opposition leader has been underestimated as his standing with voters reaches a 12-month high.
When the news breaks, you'll hear it from our news team.
An Egypt airplane flying from Paris to Cairo has disappeared from radar screens.
With our unique Christian worldview, we help you to make sense of what's happening in your world.
It's believed hundreds of ISIS terrorists are currently training in the Sinai, waiting for an order to strike Israel.
Bringing you the facts and not the false. Vision National News.
From the out there to the coast. Nationally accredited counselling training is now available wherever you are with the Australian Institute of Family Counselling. Mid-year enrolments are now open for our distance education program. So if you've been considering Christian counselling study, but doing it on campus just isn't an option, enrol today at aifc.com.au and commence study in June from wherever you are. Vet Fee Help is available. Station sponsor.
A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events. This is 2020 on Vision Christian Radio.
We're taking some time to check the pulse of another of the Christian political parties that is standing candidates for the coming federal election. I'm talking today to the Rise Up Australia Party. The founder of that party and also the first Senate candidate for Victoria is Daniel Nalia. Daniel has a colourful story, and he's been through the courts with all sorts of accusations when he's come into conflict with the Islamic Council in Victoria. Part of the foundation for what the Rise Up Australia Party is about is protecting the freedom of Australians, protecting the Australian way of life. Danny, we spent some time talking about that, the issue of the rise of Islam. What are the other primary platforms on which the Rise Up Australia Party is standing for this election?
Another key issue is minimum 51% Australian ownership of infrastructure and industries. Currently, we are facing a very big challenge where our land and our infrastructure is being sold to foreign companies, 100% foreign ownership. Now, when I say Australian ownership, I'm talking of an Australian citizen or an Australian resident, irrespective of what country you come from. If you call Australia home, you are an Australian. Now, our rule is that anything which is being sold, it has to be 51% national ownership, 49% foreign ownership. If we sell 100% to foreign buyers, for example, currently, when a young couple wants to buy a house, they go to an auction and they find bidders who are from overseas, far outbidding the affordability of those young couples by paying a higher price for houses, and there are people who own up to 200 houses, but they don't even live in Australia. Then recently there was a farmland sold, 2,000 acres of land, from a Middle Eastern country called Doha, Qatar. And the reason they said they bought that land was the Emir of Doha, said the Sheikh, so that if Doha ever experiences a famine or a natural disaster or recession, that they can export from Australia to feed their people in Doha. And I'm saying this, if we sell our land and infrastructure to all foreigners, people who don't live in Australia, what happens in case, God forbid, 30 years from now, our children and our grandchildren face a crisis of recession? We will have to depend on a third party to live on our own soil. So this is a very big concern. I was recently informed that possibly up to 40% of Northern Territory's farmland is supposed to be currently owned by the Sultan of Brunei. So this is something we're really concerned about.
So, Danny, land ownership, and what we're talking about here is not something you would see as noticeably damaging or dangerous in the short term, but when things happen in the decades to come, it becomes a major issue. Land ownership is one of your platforms. I noticed that you've got some policy issues to do with primary producers in the country.
Correct. So with producers, this comes about as a result of my spending time with farming communities. I was once in a country town. This area grows apples. And the farmer was dumping a whole container load of apples into a big pit. And when I asked him why, with tears in his eyes, he said, my apples don't stand a chance with the foreign imports, because they sell it very cheap and I have no market. And we are saying our farmers need to be looked after. Our fruit and vegetables should be given to the people to buy our local produce rather than overseas. Foreign imports, our dairy farmers need to be taken care of. So we are for all farmers and producers. That's another policy that we stand by.
Now, let's talk about voting for the Rise Up Australia party. It's classified as a minor party in Australia, and I guess so far as standing Senate candidates, you'd be hoping that there might be one of those candidates, or many, that get across the line to potentially hold a balance of power in Australia. When people vote for Rise Up Australia party, what sort of realistic chances do you have of having someone elected?
Well, we are running a number one and a number two Senate candidate for Queensland. Paul Taylor is our number one Senate candidate. Paul Taylor is a very clever man. He's also a man who originates from the country of India. Married to an Australian. Today he's an Aussie with two children. Has his own business. And we have a number two Senate candidate, Nerori Mooney. And we have also Senate candidates running in WA, New South Wales, Victoria, and Northern Territory. We are very upbeat right now because of the Senate changes and the dissolution, what do you call it, the double dissolution election, which is coming up. This time around, we have a very good chance to secure a couple of seats, or at least one or two or three seats in Senate, because the percentages are far lower than the last election. Formerly, you needed from 14.8% or so to get a Senate candidate in. This election, you need only 7.7% to get a candidate in. So we stand a very good chance of getting a few candidates in. And with God's grace, if we do get them in, as you know, Senate is the watchdog which protects bad bills from getting passed. Or if the wrong people are there, those bad bills get through. We hope that we'll get the balance of power and be a force to reckon with.
Danny, how do you describe overall the policies of Rise Up Australia Party? I mean, I've said that you're a Christian-based party. How does that affect the way that you put your policy together?
Well, I'll tell you what, the general public out there have been looking forward to a politically incorrect party which will say what it means and mean what it says. So as a political party built on Judeo-Christian values, I myself being a Christian minister, My first accountability is to God. And through that, I know that I'll be accountable, because if I'm accountable to God, I have to be accountable to man. That's a very good platform to be in government. We believe that Rise Up Australia Party will keep Australia and build Australia's foundations once again with our Judeo-Christian values. And I'm interacting with thousands upon thousands of people in public forums. Recently, I was speaking at a rally in Bendigo. There were more than 1,000 people, and I would say 950 out of the 1,000 were non-churched people who clapped and cheered and hugged me as I walked off the platform. And what they said to me was, they said, "Man, we were waiting for somebody to speak out for us. Because you can say that they can't call you a racist." Of course, because my skin color is black. And I thank God for that, because I can say what I'm saying. And if it was a white person who says that, no, multiculturalism is racist, immediately the media will say that you are saying they are racist. So we've been given a good platform. Our Senate candidates, we will be running also lower house candidates in several electorates. But our Senate candidates comprise of a mixed bundle of people from different countries who will be standing up for our nation as one. And we are praying and hoping God will give us the opportunity to run and win some seats to protect Australia.
Well, Danny, I'll point people to your website where they'll be able to look closely at your policy platform and the way that your campaign is likely to unfold. They'll be able to see pictures and some biographical detail of your candidates. It's the Rise Up Australia Party. Simply Google Rise Up Australia or riseupaustraliaparty.com. And Pastor Danny Nalia is the founder of the Rise Up Australia Party. He's also the first Senate candidate for Victoria for Rise Up Australia. Danny, thank you so much for taking some time today to let us know what you're doing with this election campaign. Appreciate you being with us on 2020.
Thank you, Dean. It's always a pleasure. You can also check our Facebook, which is also has a link on the party website.
Visions 2020 with Neil Johnson.